In over my head. What a recreation it is to be in love. It sets the heart aching so delicately. There's no taking a wink of sleep for the pleasure of the pain. George Coleman, the Younger. We got dressed and went out for breakfast. The mood for ripping his clothes off had passed for me, for the time being. After all, I was about to be courted by Zelos, a master, and it took my breath away. To be pampered and adored, plenty of time for everything. After that first night, we kept just the single room. We took turns in the shower and slept together every night, clothed. I was learning to tolerate that kind of intimacy with another person. With him in particular, and I liked it. I, in fact, was soon craving more. One evening, we were talking quietly in each other's arms. I was definitely growing fond of his presence, his close proximity, his touching. He was running a finger through my hair, and our legs were intertwined.
Philia, what are we going to do when we go back home in a couple of days?
I thought we'd speak to Amelia about advertising. The firm her father uses for his campaign?
No, 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 not business. I meant, where are we going to live? After this, I don't think I can face going back to my place alone night after night.
He kissed my nose and opened his eyes in a soulful expression. Oh, I don't know. We'll think of some way to get together, like some weekdays. Weekends I'm at the settlement, I said rather flippantly. I didn't want to think too deeply.
That's not an answer. Philly, look at me. Now, I've been through this kind of thing before, avoiding the issues.
Sounds like Zelbob.
Zelgata still does some of that, but he's finally growing up and coming around. I've put my shrink's kid through college with all my hours of therapy, so they weren't easy lessons for me to learn, but learn them I did. First of all, my relationships failed because when things didn't go well, I'd get disappointed. We both would. And we wouldn't have the communication skills to figure out what the problems really were, especially sensitive or negative feelings. Yeah, I like to talk and seem pretty open now, but important things? I'm tempted to take the easy route and keep them hidden. You know, I've been slow to grow up, and you... You've recently moved from your home part-time, so you have some growing up to do, too, like loosening those family ties. But we have to face the truth. Do you want to move in with me, or not? Shall we try living together and see if we have more than just infatuation going for us?
Move in? Do we have to move that fast? Can't we just live separately and date for a while? Zelos knew I wasn't ready for more. I could tell he felt let down.
Of course, Philly. We can do that if you'd like. But I'm sure going to miss holding you every night.
Then let's make this one a bit more memorable. I smiled and started kissing him hard. Things were getting hot and heavy. I could tell he was excited and needy. So was I. We touched under our nightclothes and then worked them off. I'd seen him naked in photos before, so I was prepared for that. Although, it was really different in the flesh. I could touch him as well, and that was really strange. He made the neatest sounds when I did, so I could tell he liked being caressed. No matter what I did, he loved it. I also liked the way he looked at me.
Your breasts are really nice. Large.
Amelia's are bigger.
I wouldn't know about that.
He looked down at mine and kissed first one, then the other.
You're so soft.
You're skinny and hard.
Zelgaris is thinner.
I wouldn't know about that. I smirked and slapped his groping hands away as they crept between my legs. His teasing fingers returned, and I became rigid with tension. I was uncomfortable with him touching me there. Patiently, he tried to get my hand to touch myself. He talked me through it a while, and then moved off.
Repressed. Those clan shrine leaders sure did a number on you.
The hurt in my eyes silenced the rest of what he was about to say.
"I'm sorry, baby. It's okay. It's just how you are now. I'm sorry you had your natural reaction subjugated for so long."
All I had really paid attention to was the baby part. I had never heard him call anyone a pet name like that when he was being serious. Although, in private, maybe he had. Regardless, it made me feel special. I tuned back into what he was saying to catch his questioning look.
"I don't suppose you'd want to touch me."
Actually, I was very curious about his private parts. "I've never touched a guy that way. Val and I never did anything, but I guess he told you about all that."
"No, he never kissed and told about you. I think you were his first true love, and he held you above all the others in that, and in all respects."
"Good, Val. That's nice to know. He was discouraged when I made it clear that he wasn't going to get any of the action out of me that he had hoped for, and we broke up. There were other reasons, too."
"Uh-huh. So about me?"
Zello smiled and chuckled as I blushed. I remember being amazed at the softness of his skin and the reactions that the barest caress could bring from him. This guy really liked sex. I was enjoying the pleasure I could give him with such simple strokes when he suddenly gasped and pulled my hand off him and rolled to the side.
"Oh, my," he sighed. "That hasn't happened to me since I was a teenager. I used to have more control than that."
He looked into my eyes and said simply,
"It's you."
I was blushing out of embarrassment for him, which was funny since he wasn't bothered at all, more amused, bordering on impressed.
"And it's been a while,"
he giggled, and then balled up some sheet to clean off.
"Come on, we can share the shower. I've always wanted to wash your hair. Can I, please?"
he begged boyishly. His candidness and humor won me over. Sex was sloppy. So what? It was fun, wasn't it? That was his attitude. No worries. "My hair? Sure, we'll do each other okay."
"That's an honor, you understand."
He smiled.
"No one gets to touch mine but you. And Zell Goppis."
"Zell? Ew, that sounds bad."
"Well, just the one time. Didn't he ever tell you that? That time he'd stayed over to babysit me, and we were barely friends yet."
I shook my head as he pulled me into the bathroom.
"No. Okay, well, our parents were gone to a conference together, and he and I took care of one another."
He adjusted the water temperature and stepped into the shower. "Oh, yeah, a long time ago. You banged up your head doing something, and he had to take you to the hospital." I poured out a palmful of shampoo and began to massage it into his scalp.
"Almost. We were playing tag or hide-and-seek in the park, and I tackled him and knocked him over the side of a grade. Me, too, only I took it on the head and passed out. When I woke up, he helped me home and mopped up. Man, I'm glad I didn't see that blood and then faint on him. He was freaked out enough as it was. Well, not too freaked, because he found my doctor's number and called him, and he was the one who kindly came by and drove us both to the hospital."
"So, Zell washed the blood out of it? Then? Stand under the water more, so I can rinse you out."
"When we got home the next day before the band came over."
"Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Your hair's so thick, and you do have a forehead."
"What is it with girls and my bangs? You all want to push them away."
"Well, speaking for me, I don't know about all those girls. I like to see what you're hiding under there. Your eyebrows, for one. They are really expressive." He made a face at that.
"Maybe I want to hide my feelings sometimes."
"Not from me." "Okay, my turn," I said as I ducked my head under the stream of water. He took forever washing my hair, and my body. Mostly he liked rubbing me with soap, pressing up close, and then slipping and sliding together. Everything was new and playful. Zelos was always about fun, as Lena said. She just had no idea how much fun. We were toweling off when Zelos determined, "I'm hungry, you two. We've missed breakfast and lunch." Zelos was like that. My little boy, my eager lover, my smooth, sophisticated man, all bundled together beneath a goofy, now more of a carefree exterior. We spent the next few nights in a tight, rapturous embrace, most of the time. Getting back to Seyrun and the band called for some adjustments. Some good, some bad. One of the nice things that happened was Val's graduation from the Art Institute. He really did it. We were all so very proud of him, and Lena organized a fun party. Then, at the very end of June, Gowri and Silphiel invited us all to the White Shrine for a welcoming ceremony to introduce their newborn girl to the world and the shrine. Best of all, Gowri asked Zelos to preside over the ceremony. Considering that Nell's Lotta was the baby's grandfather and head of the shrine, it was a sign of respect and friendship between the two men who had once been fierce competitors for Lena's heart. "I imagine," Zell told me, "Nell's Lotta is happy not to have to do a thing for a change. Just sit back and let someone else do the work while he enjoys his growing family." I agreed without taking my eyes off Zelos. He was so, I'll say handsome, but really more beautiful that day, standing in his dark robes with a few rays of light reflecting off his shining hair. His ears were pink, so I know he must have been overheated. He had nerves of steel as a priest. It wasn't a case of jitters. I watched as Gowri handed over his precious child, and Zelos cradled her for a moment. His smile was dazzling. How he loved kids! Would he ever have any of his own? Would I? Not his. I think a tear escaped, or a few trickled down my cheek, because Amelia handed me a handkerchief, saying, "It's such a lovely thing. I'm glad I'm not the only one to cry at things like this. Kiki does, too." Yeah, Kiki was along, too. She often was. She frequently accompanied Zelos and me places, always if our travels would take us to France. At first, I have to admit, I was jealous. I mean, she was more his type, petite and dark, and there weren't any obvious deterrents. But I learned that there were. Simply put, they were not in love romantically. He was responsible for her welfare after her parents were murdered by syndicate hitmen following their failure to marry. That is, Zelos felt that way. Her aunt and uncle still ran Polly's Pies and Pastries in town. She had them. Amelia's father gave her a home and a home life. But Zelos took her to see her homeland in France, her property and friends there. He also set her up in a business, recording music videos. I got over my pettiness and grew to love the younger girl like a sister. I wiped my eyes and smiled gratefully back at Amelia. "Thanks." It wasn't long before my eyes were once again glued to Zelos and listening to his nice voice. Okay, so I was enamored of the guy. I never had felt so happy and silly at the same time, and at times so sad. How could I ask him to give this up and train to enter the CP Believers? I couldn't. But if he didn't, then we couldn't marry, and we'd never be a family with children. His dream, as he had explained it to the band many times. Gods, what a mess. Before the ceremony, Zell had sat me down for one of his certain-to-become-more-frequent talks concerning his brother.
"The White Shrine saved his soul at one time, Philia. It gave him a way to defy his mother at first, but then it filled in some of those empty spaces in him, fulfilling him in ways he needed. He still needs the grounding his priest duties require of and provide for him."
"I think I know why you're telling me all this, Zelbob, I have no right to ask him to give it all up, and I don't intend to. I'll never marry, that's all. Zell shook his head. It's not so simple with him, Philia. It is a part of his ADD condition. The way he is, has always been. It used to bug the hell out of me until I learned. He can't help it, really. Once he gets a thing in his head, he often goes overboard. He tries, but he still can't see obstacles and consequences clearly enough, or soon enough to make good judgment calls. Or he knows better, but can't fight the impulse. If he gets it into his head that he wants you to accept him or your family, or that he wants to give you the future he thinks you want, then he'll leave the shrine and train to join the clan. His words came back to me as we sat and watched the baby ceremony. Zelos loved children. He believed in marriage. He must have wanted more for us than living together. Someday. He needed the shrine, too. As happy as I was with Zelos, I was not at peace. I should have taken Zell's words to heart and spoken openly to Zelos about the issues it brought up. But instead, I avoided that conflict adroitly. Should have, would have, could have. Live and learn. That I did, the hard way. We were totally in love, and yet restrained around the band. Gowrie and Silphiel set a good example that way. Clearly they cared for one another, but they weren't all over one another, pawing and kissing. Professionals we were. Oh yeah, Zelos did sing a song for me, which became part of the Slayer's repertoire. It's called It's You. That first time we sang it for the audience was an especially memorable event for me. It began when he hopped down from his drum set and handed off his sticks to Joey. Joey was like a thinner, younger Gowrie now. Maybe more different than similar to his brother on closer examination. His hair was lighter, almost white, and was shoulder length and parted in the center. He was in high school and starting on the basketball team. He was also a good student, not the working man that his brother turned out to be. Val started the intro on the keyboards, and then Zelos took a microphone and whispered in the sexiest voice ever, "It's you." Zell and Gowrie came in with their accompanying instrumentals to the upbeat love song by Dave Cassidy. As Zelos continued, hundreds of girls in the audience screamed so loud it hurt. I pushed my hands over my ears, but it didn't help.
Hello, baby. Yes, it's me again, and I'm looking for the rainbows and it's hidden in your mind.
All the while, he moved over to where I was standing with the other backup singers. Nothing like this had been rehearsed, so I had no idea what he was up to.
I'll tell you, baby.
He reached out and took my hand in his, then pulled me gently closer so we were standing nose to nose. The lights were on us. I felt a warm rush of excitement heighten all my senses.
I think I can bring you through, and the answer lies within those lonely eyes of opaque blue.
He kissed me lightly, gave me a quick hug, and released all but my hand. His voice was joined by the rest of us for the chorus, which he sang, bouncing with excitement and swinging my arm.
It's you,
it's you,
it's you,
it's you.
I'll never find another love like you.
The girls in the audience screamed so loudly, I could see Zelgata's pause to adjust his earplugs for safety's sake.
It's you. I would die if you should leave me. Baby, baby, please believe me.
The music dropped down, and once again, he drew nearer and looked into my eyes.
Hello, baby.
My heart was pounding so hard I no longer heard anything. Well, except his sweet words.
Yes, it's me again once more. Oh, I know that we can't find the love that we once had before.
He kissed my hand and let it go in order to address the screaming, crying girls and finish the song. My heart was pounding so hard I couldn't hear right. I was breathless and couldn't sing.
And I'll tell you, baby, I can't face another day.
I think I entered a mystical realm because I know I wasn't dreaming, but it was so unreal.
And before the sun goes down tonight, I've got to hear you sing.
He danced joyously and sang to the end.
It's you, it's you, it's you. I'll never find another love like you. It's you, I would die if you should leave me. Baby, baby, please believe me. It's you, I'll never find another love like you. Like you, I'll never find another love like you. Like you, I'll never find another love like you.
The music faded into screams as we all repeated the "it's you" part. But everyone knew that it was me. Just me and him. I wondered if Lena had ever felt as electrified when he sang to her, and her alone up there on the stage. I'd ask her, because even though he had dropped the intimate, sexy, sexy dance piece, he still sang those ballads, and sometimes I caught him looking her way. Sometimes. But tonight, it had been me, and only me. I thought it was one of the most thrilling feelings there could be. I decided that I wanted a future with him, without marriage if need be. But would he be satisfied with just me? I wasn't the only one with mixed feelings about our future together, as I learned later. It was summertime, and he was about to leave me for parts unknown. Business, he said. I begged and begged for him to take me along, and he gave in eventually. I hoped to discover some interesting art glass or ceramics on my own. I didn't suspect it at the time, but I was going to learn a lot on that trip. Poland, Zelly? I asked as I peered over his shoulder and out the small, clouded window of the airline.
That's right. Warsaw is moments away. Oh, see all the little lakes. Why were you asking?
Just that. Why? That's what I was wondering. Why?
I told you, Grauschera couldn't make it.
And
the syndicate branch centered in Starachevice hasn't... with our demands. The personal touch is required.
Yours, you mean? Oh, Zelly, when will you ever be free of it? He looked over at me again with his glittering purple eyes and said gently,
Never. It's my job to see that the syndicate never comes into power again.
I knew that, of course. I wasn't really asking a question. Can I help?
No. You will stay in Warsaw. I will be about 200 kilometers south. Don't worry, I'll stay in contact with you.
Maybe I should have been worried about what might happen to him, but I was too selfish and too ignorant of what it was that he did. Oh, all right, I'll find some way to keep busy while I'm missing you.
I got you a guide. A lovely lady, Irie, will meet us at the hotel tonight. We'll discuss our plans over dinner. Sound okay with you? She's Wolfie's clan. They are very prominent here, and strict. They will expect you, a Sivide priestess, to be very proper. So I arranged separate rooms for us. Don't worry, they'll love you. It's me they can't tolerate.
He smiled at the face I made. They'll let you go in and do your dirty work for them, though. I grumbled.
Ah, yes. Well, that's true.
It was summer in Sayrun when we left, but when we landed at Warsaw's Okechi International Airport, it felt like winter. It's barely 50 degrees out. What happened to summer? I asked a well-fed looking man at the baggage claim area. Zelos translated for me.
He doesn't know. He claims the weather went from spring and back. No summer this year, it seems. Come on, we'll take a cab to the hotel.
But when the driver stopped, Zelos and I gasped in astonishment.
"Are you sure this is the place?"
he asked the man.
"You said, go to the Sobieski, so I take you to the Sobieski," answered the cabbie.
"I will get your bags." All I understood was that there hadn't been a mistake. The building was a standout, proud in its dazzling assortment of party-colored paint, like Lena or Val in a clan chapel. Wide patches of pastel pink, violet, green, oranges, and yellows accented its otherwise grand exterior. At its pinnacle sat a turquoise-blue, glassed-in dome sporting the flag of Poland like a feather atop a hat.
"My gods," Zelos murmured. "It looked less colorful on the website."
"I hope it's better inside," I said. It was. There were over 200 rooms, and only one royal suite, ours. And all of it was lovely in cherry wood and marble. We bathed in a giant marble tub, dressed, then made our way downstairs to the magnificently adorned Marisienka restaurant. I really warmed to its cozy atmosphere and professional service immediately. And soon, the wild circus of fun misconceptions we had about the hotel in our arrival were forgotten.
"Hello,"
Zelos waved to our guide, then completed his greeting with a flourish of Polish. The woman smiled shyly and joined us at a private table. Irie was petite with dark hair, I noticed. Definitely Zelos's type. She responded in the language of Seirun for my benefit, and for which I was grateful. "We should start with drinks." She fingered a waiter to order.
"I wouldn't mind trying the plum specialty,"
Zelly smiled.
"Sliwoicha?
Too sweet. After dinner. Now you should start with the Zubroka."
Bison? The bison brand?"
Zelos asked. "Yes, it is an original, authentic, native vodka of Poland."
"Each bottle of Zubroka contains a blade of bison grass. This vodka is 40% alcohol, is greenish-yellow, and has a touch of sugar. The aroma is delicate, and the taste is..."
Zelos read from the drinks list.
"Ooh, listen to this. It smells of freshly mown hay and spring flowers of thyme and lavender, and it's soft on the palate and so comfortable. It's like listening to music by moonlight." "Sounds good, doesn't it, Philia?"
"You do know about bison grass, don't you?" I eyed him seriously.
"Well, no."
"The source of Zabrowska's, I'm sure, wealth of qualities is a plant unassuming in appearance, called holy grass by our clan. Bison grass contains calmarin, Zellybean." Irie smiled at my use of his nickname. "You are right, Miss Philia. Calmarin is a glycoside with a distinctive fragrance, once generally used to flavor tobacco, cakes, and beverages. These days, because calmarin has been found to have anticoagulant properties, it is only allowed in tiny amounts, which the Polish health authorities deem harmless. It says here on the bottle, Zubroka contains only about 12 milligrams of calmarin per liter." Zelos laughed.
"That's okay, then. Besides, think about it. Do you really want your blood to clot?"
"To the restricted clotting of our blood," I cheered, glass in hand.
"May it always flow strong and dark," Irie put in. "And remain inside us," Zelos murmured.
And with that, we all swallowed our drinks. I came up gasping at its harshness. I had never had hard liquor before. Zelos was perusing the menu when he asked,
"What do you suggest?"
"For an appetizer, the golabki."
"Little doves? Pigeons?"
Zelos translated. Our guide shook her head. "Not real ones. Cabbage rolls, filled with chopped up meat, vegetables, and rice. Very good." I'll have one without the meat in the filling, I said. Irie raised an eyebrow, but made no comment. Ah, Zello smiled. Perhaps a soup. His finger traced down the column and stopped midway. He frowned. What is it that you found? Our guide asked, perhaps knowingly as she looked over at his selection. I was hoping for the vegetarian. Mushroom soup would do. With all the Volfeet influence here, I knew there had to be meatless dishes. Oh, Irie laughed as she read off the menu. Flaky.
Guts,
Zello spat with disgust. I turned green. Tripe soup is a Polish specialty, a very special treat, full of tender strips of beef tripe and vegetables, seasoned generously with salt and pepper, marjoram, ginger, nutmeg, and paprika. Irie read from the menu. We'll pass, I told her firmly.
How about the one below that?
Zelos asked quickly. Zernia, Irie drawled out in a mysterious voice. From behind his hand, Zelos whispered to me,
It means blackness. Don't ask why.
But it was too late. Irie leaped to the challenge with unbridled enthusiasm. Black, yes. Black with boiled duck's blood.
Oh, my.
Zelos's face turned ashen. Ha, no. The color comes from dried plums, and usually the giblets from a goose or duck are used. Just a little blood, mixed with vinegar to keep it from coagulating. Irie was enjoying this a little too much. No wonder Zelos chose her as our guide here. Not only had she a sense of humor, but she was a vampire. I knew it. Zelos always had a weird taste in women. I'll just have a salad, no meat, and a baked potato. Is that possible? I asked. I'm sure my voice was a bit shrill. Irie's eyes were twinkling. You want the Volfeet menu here. It's what I'll be ordering off of. She passed me a different menu, which Zelos scanned interestedly. We love to eat, and eat well, so order many things, she added.
I think she liked the borscht. You like beet soup and sour cream, right, Philly? And kulski zup, kapska, Polish noodles and cabbage, okay?
I nodded. Sounded like clan fare in winter. Very good choices, but Mr. Zelos, since you eat meat, you should try the bigos. They fill them well here. The more things you put into bigos, the better, they say. He acquiesced and let her order a few more interesting dishes. And I must say, it was marvelously tasty, filling food. So good that we both slept soundly that night and long into the next day. Or maybe it was that second glass of plum brandy, 80 proof. The next day, Zully was picked up by a black limousine and whisked away on his unsyndicate business. Sadly, he missed driving with us along potholed roads reminiscent of a war zone and streets that were like one of those roller coaster rides at the fairground. One of these took us to the interesting but unfortunately named King's Bathrooms Park. I reassured me that in the past, there really were King's Bathrooms here. That may be, but was that something to proudly advertise, I asked? Anyway, it was too cold and rainy, so we left there pretty fast to return another day. I had to admit that Irie, for all her quirks, was a great guide and a charming person. She told me that she had met Zelos via the internet through a mutual hacker friend, Lane. I remembered Lane from the Siberia, as in Cyber Club. Of course, I was out with Alan Schetzer that night, and Val saved me from him, and my mom gave birth to my little brother then, so long ago. Yeah, as Lane once put it, we are all connected. Or was that wired? We ended eating our lunch at the Palace of Culture and Science. It was a huge, concrete, neo-Gothic block of cement adjacent to the Warsaw Central Station. Irie explained that the native Varsovians shared a sort of love-hate relationship with the place. It was kind of a gift from the Dark Star organization, a mostly unwanted one, which made it subject to numerous jokes among the local inhabitants, Volfied clan people mostly, who opposed the syndicate in all its variations. Over 550 sculptures decorate the building, my guide explained. Combined with the building's monumentalism, this inspired the people to label the palace an elephant in lacy underwear. We both smiled and linked arms companionably as we viewed more displays. I could tell she deeply loved the place and its history. Oh, shortly after completion, it became quite famous as a popular place for suicides. The first suicide was a Frenchman who deemed it a more honorable place to die than the Eiffel Tower. Again, we both laughed and continued to enjoy the vast exhibits inside what was the second tallest clock tower in the world, after the Docomo Yoyogi building in Tokyo. I was there once! There was nothing like it in Seirun, that was for sure. Unfortunately, none of the vases were for sale, but I picked out dozens of postcards and art books to take home. I was bursting with ideas to start my own creation someday as well.